It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We had a recent announcement in the mayor's race, and it's taking shape. Councilman Oliver Tom is from District E, and he joins us. Oliver, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thank you, Newell, man. All blessings to you and your listening audience. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Oliver. Let's start out with, if you would, what motivated you to run for mayor?
Well, first of all, what really motivated me was people in the community. I'm not looking for the title of mayor. The title doesn't really mean much if you're not willing to do the work, put up with the criticism, the challenges. And really kind of bring people together to make what I think New Orleans ought to be. And that's a city that works for all of us. So I've been meeting with folk all across the city for the last several months. And what I heard was encouraging, and the support was encouraging. And of course, lastly, with my family, because it impacts the people closest to us when we're in office, and you know that as much as anyone else. So that was a motivating factor.
Now, I was watching your video, and you said that this city needs a comeback, and no one understands that better than you, alluding to your history. Yes. But a comeback has somewhat of a little bit of a negative connotation as to where you're starting from. So how do you assess the state of the city today?
Well, Newell, you know, one thing about you and I is we, you know, you host your show, and I've hosted that show on that other station for 12 years. We read all the reports about economics, housing, the state of our community. We interview people from the White House to the outhouse. So we know that Louisiana, in a lot of critical areas, is D-minus, NF. We know that Louisiana is 50th in the well-being of children. We know that right here in New Orleans, that single African-American women have some of the lowest per capita wealth. We know the CNBC report on black men and boys says that they're missing from the nation's economy. We know that post-Katrina, we had an opportunity to improve and invest in our affordable housing stock, and we didn't. And so there's about a $2 billion economic hole there. We know we've been on a roller coaster when you talk about crime. We've been the murder capital in about five or six different areas. Thankfully, the last several years, from Chief Woodfolk to now Chief Kirkpatrick and as well as Chief Ferguson, we've been on a downward trend with District E, which was one of the most violent places per capita that I represent. based on Chief Kirkpatrick's comments, is leading in overall violent crime reduction. We know that the comeback to me means a sustainable city. Let's not just celebrate when we do something well, but that we can expect something well, not just from one event to the next, from one effort or one challenge to the next, but that we have a sustainable city in all those areas. So when I talk about comeback, I mean that. And we know we have to start someplace. And let's start to make New Orleans a city that works for all of us.
But keeping with that starting someplace, I mean, you have a front row seat, right? You sit on the city council. You've seen it. You've had the advantage, or sometimes you've taken it. I think more often than not in holding Mayor LaToya Cantrell accountable on any number of issues. So I ask again, where do you see the state of the city of New Orleans? I mean, you quoted a lot of stats that were nationally, you know, nationally motivated. I get it. I understand. But when we talk about governance and we talk about leadership and we're talking about the council, many times on a unanimous vote, having to get involved in some things that they ordinarily would not as a legislative body, describe that state of the state to me in a more granular way from what you, because I think that's what the constituents want to understand, is what are you going to bring that's different than the leadership style that you exhibited while sitting on the council? Because, you know, just the other day, we found out we're possibly $800 million short on the road program. How in the hell in March, the third week of March, we make that revelation to the council for the first time? I mean, that is a complete breakdown in leadership and accountability.
Well, first, let's get granular. But first, let me thank you for your comments about most of the time I've tried to work together. I worked with my colleagues on the council. I don't participate in the soap opera shows or a lot of the side stuff. You know, I took my lead from the late Joe Geruso, who was president of the council at one time, and, of course, Jim Singleton, who they always thought that rolling your sleeves up, respect, working together is the best way to do it. But let's get granular. Rob Masson asked me 7 months after I was elected this time, and I was out of politics for 14 years. I'm really kind of like one of the junior members of the council. I've been back in politics for 3 years now, so others have served there much longer than me. That's a fact. But when you talk about granular, Rob Masson asked me, what was one of the things that I noticed that was different from when I served before to now? And there were two things that came to mind. Lack of institutional knowledge, which is something that people complain about at every level of government now. And then the ability for folk to collaborate and work together. But if you want to talk about getting granular, there's no reason that permits should take months and a year to issue. There's no reason that once we dig, we should at least have a minimum of 90 days to fix it. Once you dig, get all the utilities, whoever is underneath that hole, that we shouldn't have 4, 5, 6 months before somebody comes back and fills the hole. We should have 48-hour sanitation fixes. Well, I think it should be 24, but let's say you need an extra day. If someone complains about missed trash or some complains about mistakes in sanitation, why should it take a week for someone to come back and pick up the trash they missed or the mistake that was made or the item that they left, a minimum of 48 hours. It has taken some folk 9 months, 10 months, a year. I met with a group of business people about permitting. I've helped officials in other parishes who've recommended friends to me whose permits were just sitting, who got their check back that would pay for their permit, but the city sent the check back because they weren't dealing with that application yet. Those are just a few things. Transparency, when you talk about investments, folk investing in communities. If business people are looking at a neighborhood, why can't we go to a city dashboard to say that someone's interested in development of the community? And the community isn't noticed after the fact, but they can pull it up to see what's going to impact their neighborhood, what's being proposed in their neighborhood. Another thing is I'd really like to sit down with the folk in the city to see, when you talk about accountability and policing, is it time now to consider electing our next police chief, or at least having a committee of citizens involved in the review process, not just people from government or people from the business community? So, you know, that's a whole list of granular areas where I think we can begin to immediately make a difference and to restore some confidence, not just on the business side, but on the community side.
Well, then you would agree that there is very little or no confidence at the present time.
I mean, when you look at every poll,
the city services poll and some of the other polls, there may be some minute differences, but the overwhelming feeling of the constituency is that this administration, at least for the last 7.5 years or 7+ years, has been a complete and total failure.
And in the same survey, and you've probably seen the same ones I've seen, where the legislative bodies don't fare in terms of confidence that well either. So, you know, it's like the pot can't call the kettle black if we're not trying to work together to make sure that the pot is clean or ready to cook something. So, you know, one of the reasons why I called for a retreat both times when I was initially elected and over a year ago was because I was trying to follow the lead of former council members as well as myself to get everybody in the room to talk about, though we may have differences on certain issues, how do we collaborate on these things that will restore more public confidence? How do we get these things done that the public has been waiting on? And folk don't have a lot of confidence.
You don't believe for a moment that Mayor Cantrell has tried to accommodate the council in any way, shape, or form, do you?
No. There have been a whole host of mayors that
I'm not talking about a host of mayors. I'm talking about this mayor.
There have been
simple requests made by you and other council members in a unanimous fashion where she has just really kind of flipped y'all off and said, not happening.
And that's unfortunate. And let's say that I wouldn't be the kind of mayor to do that. I think that you meet with everybody, people you like, people you don't like, and you try to come to conclusions to try to work together to get stuff done. If you remember back in the 90s when the Jim Singleton Council was on one side and the Mark Morial administration was on the other side, and they convened those meetings to kind of get everybody together on the same page, well, that's the kind of mayor I would want to be. There are also people who don't want to meet with certain people. I'll meet with anyone who wants to help make sure that we have a city that works for us. And if you remember back then, council was on one side, Morial administration was on the other side, and they got together and worked together. And what was the product of that? We had a 70% reduction in violent crime, double the national average, led the nation in juvenile crime. Home ownership went over 41% for the first time in history. And we had a growing black middle class amongst its largest demographic. Those things didn't happen because I said it. I was part of it. Those things happened because we got in a room and we worked together, Lou.
Well, yes, there was. But you had a very proactive leader in Mark Morial who decided to go against what a lot of folks on the council were saying about going outside of the confines of the NOPD and bringing someone in from the outside to deal with this crime issue that we had at that point in time.
Well, I was there, so I didn't recommend anybody inside or outside. And if you remember specifically, Chief Pennington wasn't even part of the list. He came.
No, he wasn't. He came as a result of Mark Morial.
That's absolutely correct. So, I don't remember recommending anyone, but just advocating for the best one.
There was a thought process that, you know, you had to promote from within. And if you're going to, you know, my thought has always been, if you're going to affect cultural change, it's not going to be someone who's been the beneficiary of the culture.
It makes it very, very difficult to do that.
I mean, and that's why, the appointment of Ann Kirkpatrick seemed to me to be the right appointment at the right time because of that very nature of that challenge. Where would you be on reappointing Ann Kirkpatrick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to sitting with Chief Kirkpatrick and the community, as well as all the citizens in this community, to give her and anyone else who would apply an opportunity. I think she's earned the right, a couple of snafus, national and local, but she's earned the right to be considered. If you remember my comments when they reviewed it last year, when I said as someone who didn't vote for Chief Kirkpatrick, we've developed, I have a lot of respect for her, and we've developed a good working relationship. And if you've been keeping, I know you've been keeping track, you know, you and I, we do this. We read all the reports. You remember her saying that she'd like to duplicate what she's done with me in my district, and that is walk the community and be more visible. So we've had a good relationship.
All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be back for your final comments. We're visiting with Oliver Thomas, City Councilman District E, now a candidate for mayor of the city of New Orleans. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We're visiting with Oliver Thomas, City Councilman District E, who's announced his candidacy for the mayor of the city of New Orleans. Oliver, it occurs to me that we have two members of the council, the legislative arm of city government, running for mayor. What can we expect of you? Because I really believe that we are at a real delicate point in time with a lame duck mayor who has consistently kind of shunned the requests, demands, however you want to characterize it, of the council, where this doesn't become, you know, a mayoral political issue.
Well, I think there has to be a commitment that while you run a race, that there has to be a joint effort and some cooperation to make sure that the city's business is taken care of. I commit to that in terms of political gamesmanship. It's still important that we do our jobs, maintain a sense of decorum, and work together while this administration is on the way out. You have my commitment, the public has my commitment.
Do you see, I've always said that this city needs to go through an exercise of right-sizing itself. And as we look at what's happening at the national level with Doge, and we look at what's happening at the state level with their adoption of Doge principles as well, your thoughts?
That's a great point, Neil, but probably people like you and I would understand that who've been involved. So think about it. And I've said this publicly, and no one's published it, and when I speak about political culture in the city and right-sizing, I use that at universities when I talk to groups. The city had 503,000 people pre-Katrina. The city budget was $500 million.
after Katrina, and I think then we went to the Landry administration, the budget was around $700 to $800 million with 150,000 fewer people. Then during the Landry administration, we had a high of 391,000 people with a close to $1 billion budget. Now we have 360,000 people, 31,000 fewer people with a $1.7 billion budget. It seems like the only budget that's grown is governments, and our pockets have gotten lighter, the citizens. And I really believe that. And I've also done some independent surveys on my own. I learned that from Jim Singleton, who used to do department surveys, where you see that in many surveys, if based on the employees who were there, if you get 60% production, many who work within those departments believe that they can be organized or better organized so that we could produce more. So what I have seen is city budget grow, delivery of services be less dependable, but the amount that we pay be more. You're absolutely correct. And I'm the first person you've probably heard explain it like that. You're absolutely correct.
Well, I don't hear enough conversation about it. I think this is a defining mm-hmm. moment for the city. I think, you know, it's going to course correct where we're headed, mm-hmm. where we really need to focus on the basic priorities, infrastructure, delivery of city services first, and everything else second. I know that people say, oh, we can walk and chew gum, but the reality is we haven't. We've been tripping all over ourselves.
And that's why I spent time with my plan that folk can go to that says, you know, 48-hour fixes. Why can't we do it? We have the personnel to do it. The Love Your Neighbor annual campaign, the grants we can give to people to organize cleanups, right, and after-school programs in their community, 10,000 sustainable homes. The state has its program. Let's partner with investors and banks to make sure that what we didn't do post-Katrina, we can do. Now, the seven-day fixes in crime hotspots. I mean, if a light is out in a hotspot, let's give a minimum, a maximum of 7 days to get those lights back on. Fully staffed emergency. It should be 10-second responses with 911 calls. People shouldn't be holding on because that can mean life or death. So there are a lot of areas that I've been doing my homework. I've compared it to what it used to be. And we need to get not only become a 21st century community when you talk about delivery of services, but there are a lot of areas where we can do it better, as well as look at how much we're charging people. So people are paying for two-a-day pickup, but they're only getting one-a-day pickup. What about an audit of trash services, right, and how we pick up trash to see if we're getting the best bang for our buck? All of that stuff's in my plan. And I've talked about all those things.
And Oliver, you're in radio. You know I got to get to a break, but let me just say this. I hope that you will commit to come back on this show, not only when it's convenient for you, because it's all about keeping the constituency informed about what it is that's going on and where we stand on these issues. These issues are many, and they're incredibly diverse and require lengthy conversations about where people stand, and I hope to get that commitment from all of the folks that are running for office.
Real quickly, lastly, you'll remember when I was council president, when I worked with John Young and Chris Roberts, and we did the joint council meetings between Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish. I initiated that because I thought that we need to work together. Our state and our region is losing population. It's more important that we work together now than ever before. And the same style I used then when I got us in the room at the Ilario Center of the airport in joint meetings is the same thing I'm going to commit to now. That's not going to change, no.
Got to get to a break. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you,
we will be right back. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.